All right, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Blind Side Blitz. I am Jim McPhee, and of course, right there is Mr. Joe DeCapita.
What's going on, Blitz Nation? Welcome back for another edition of your very own Blind Side Blitz. And we are brought to you by GrumblingsMedia.com. If you would like to, head right over there to the website, check out there's articles there, there's other podcasts there that are sports, entertainment, political, whatever your heart desires. Make sure you head over there and give that a check out. But we are growing like crazy, everybody on YouTube. Make sure you become part of the change here. We are at 3,700 subscribers to this date, and it's counting. And we want you guys to be part of it. We want you guys to help grow this channel of ours. Head over to Grumblings Media, hit that subscribe button for us, hit the thumbs up just to let you know that you're there. And also, don't forget to share it and comment down below because we are live. That's right, we're live. There's no editing in this film. We are live. We want you to drop in. Drop a comment, whether it be about your frustrations up to this point in the NFL season, or if you might have a question, fantasy football question, whatever it is, we're here for you guys. And you can also take us on the go anywhere you get your podcasts.
All right. Yes, that's right, Joe. Another interesting weekend. And now we have only one undefeated team, and it is the Kansas City Chiefs.
That's right.
After, you know, it was tight for a little bit, and then they started to pull away eventually. But the 49ers, they got a long road ahead of them with the struggles that they had with injuries, keeping their receivers healthy, and more than that even, too. A lot of people dropping like flies. And unfortunately, too, for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last night, too, in a loss. Not only did you lose Mike Evans early on in the game, but then Chris Godwin right in garbage time. Like, it was terrible to see something like that too, because it was sad because Joe Buck almost like jinxed the whole thing. He's like, listen, this is junk time. Why are you even trying right now? It's over. You know, I understand the effort, but you know, it's time to just pack up, stay healthy while you can, and leave. And right after that, Chris Godwin goes down. So now Tampa Bay is in a rough situation right now.
Yeah, I get the whole mantra of like, you know, never give up until it's triple zeros on the clock and all that. But the game was well in hand with Baltimore having sustained that win. And there's nothing that Tampa Bay could have done to turn that around at that point. So it was one of those crazy things where like meaningless end of the game type of play, and now Chris Godwin is going to be done for the year. At least he's likely to be done for the year. And not only that, but you lose Mike Evans for at least probably 3 to 4 weeks due to his hamstring injury. It's going to take a month for that thing to heal because it's a re-injury of his hamstring. It's not a new hamstring injury, which is usually 1 to 2 weeks. It's now going to extend to 3 to 4 weeks because it's just a re-injury of the hamstring. So, unfortunately for Tampa Bay, they didn't lose their top option, but they also lost their second option. And now a lot of the young guys, or even a couple of veterans that are in that on that roster, and Sterling Shepard and rookie Jeremy McMillan, like they're going to have to step up. Mm-hmm. And there is some chemistry between Baker Mayfield. It's growing with the rookie, but it still needs to get better because we noticed a couple of back shoulder throws that he was trying to link up with the rookie and just wasn't working out. The rookie misread it, and you know, they were off a little bit. So, but I look for Sterling Shepard to kind of take more of a prominent role, being that he has been the slot receiver for them for quite some time now, and now he's going to have to step up just like everybody else on that team.
All right, going back to the Chiefs and 49ers now, who do you think is more to blame for that loss on that one here with the way that offense was playing? Brock Purdy, multiple interceptions there. They did have injuries. Again, Debo went out of that game early. Ayuk injured in that game too as well. And the defense kind of kept them in it as far as they could again, but it just seemed like they were just worn out and not able to get pressure towards the end. But who do you really think is more to blame for that one? I mean, we know that we've heard now Kyle Shanahan, you know, has been seen talking to Brock Purdy in the locker room afterwards, kind of scolding him or giving him a lecture here, and Brock Purdy just being quiet and listening, nodding his head and taking it. Hopefully he learns from it a little bit. But do you think Brock Purdy really just played poorly for them to lose this game, or do you think it was a combination of things?
honestly, like, it's a combination of everything. Like, I mean, Brock Purdy does deserve a lot of the blame, for sure, because he wasn't as efficient as he normally is. He just had one of those terrible games. Like, there's one of these things where, like, you just, no matter what you're trying to do, it's just not good enough. And you kind of, one mistake compiles on another mistake, and it's just a bad game. So, like, for Brock Purdy, he's had a couple of these games before last year. So it's not like it's out of the realm of possibility for Purdy to, like, have another bad game. Now, he could go next week and light it up and have, you know, four touchdown passes and over 300 passing yards, and everybody's going to forget about this. But it was a bad game by the Niners. And quite honestly, like, we're not going to make mistakes here, or we're not going to make up excuses here. But the other part of it is that they're not running at full idle here. Like, Debo's out with an illness. That was a critical blow. Also, Brandon Ayuk now is done for the year. Like, it's not just an injury he sustained. He's done. So now somebody else has to step up. Now, we've seen Juwan Jennings step up, so look for him to kind of take more of a prominent role. Also, rookie Ricky Parasol started to get into the mix in that game. Look for him to continue that and build upon that. I just think it's one of those things where, like, Brock Purdy had a bad game. And obviously, you can't have a bad game when you're playing the Chiefs, because they seem to, no matter what, whether it be they make mistakes by turning the ball over, somehow, some way, they figure a way to win. And and their winning is very unconventional. Like, we're used to seeing the Chiefs just flat out just outplay the other team. And it's different this year. This year, they're making mistakes every single week, but somehow they're winning games. They're the only team now that's undefeated. And, yeah, you know, there's going to be fans out there that point their finger about the referees helping them out. And that may or may not be the case. Like, we've seen, there's plenty of evidence that are like, wow, this seems to be one-sided. And it seems like that every week for the Chiefs. But in the end, they're still getting W's, even though Patrick Mahomes is having the worst season of his career. Like, even in this game, he only threw for 154 yards. He threw two interceptions, not one, but two, and no touchdown passes. So that was all the running game, that, you know, and the defense. So it's like one of these things that no matter – it's really funny, because it's almost comical that Kansas City, no matter what they do wrong, they still get a W regardless.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny is when you talk about Patrick Mahomes not playing well at all, you're not hearing anything about it on any of the talk shows at all, really. You know what I mean? You're talking about some of these other teams you know, that are playing well, like the Detroit Lions. We get that, stuff like that. Obviously, the turmoil with the Jets right now, you know, Devontae Adams comes to the Jets, but still that it wasn't enough. You know, Aaron Rodgers not playing very well. And that team, you know, now, you know, in the hole a little bit, needs to dig themselves out of it. And others. Yeah. And if you look at, like you said, Patrick Mahomes' stat line right now, as of now, he's got 6 touchdowns and 8 INTs. You know, if you bring that stat up here, some people may think you're talking about Daniel Jones or somebody else like that. You know what I'm saying?
And Gardner Minshew.
And you would be hearing it from everywhere. You know what I mean? Oh, my God, this guy's terrible. He sucks. Oh. This, and blah, blah. And you're not hearing that. And what's funny is, like you said, with the lull of the way the offense has been, the defense is snuck in and kind of helped them out. They definitely helped them out in this game. And it almost kind of begs to the question, like somebody had brought up somewhere, I think it was even on Facebook, I saw it. I don't know if it was a meme or something. Somebody that set up there, though, but said, if the Chiefs didn't get Spagnuolo as a defensive coordinator, would they have won those championships even? You know, because their franchise took a turn for the better once he got there. It wasn't just Andy Reid. It was Steve Spagnuolo, too, as well. And look what that defense has done deep in the playoffs and in some of the Super Bowls that they've been in. And right now, to hold them to this undefeated streak, really. All right, so let's talk about some things that people are talking about right now with the Pittsburgh Steelers. They played Sunday night against the Jets, and that game was up and down. Didn't look very good for Russell Wilson coming out of the gate, but a lot of people were, the fans were really upset too, Joe. We got to hear the boos out there and things like that, and Russell Wilson throwing a bunch short in the dirt, a little bit off here and there, but knocked the rust off a little bit, Then he started to get his rhythm.
It's to be expected.
Right.
The fans are the worst, and it's not just Steeler fans; it's every fan base. They're the worst critics of all because this guy hasn't played football since December of last season. You expect this guy to come in and just go back to what he was back in Seattle? It's not going to happen. So, he needed to get back into the rhythm of things and with this new team that he is quarterbacking. And it took a little bit. Yeah, it definitely did. But luckily, here's the thing, is that Pittsburgh has always been running the football really well this year. And that kind of alleviated that for Russell Wilson to where when it came time for crunch time, he just had an amazing second half of that game. He took over. And it showed on the football field. Look at that score at the end, 37 points. When's the last time the Steelers had 37 points on offense? Just offense. That was pretty impressive for them to kind of just and we called it out, Jim. We said this months and months ago before the season even came, and everybody's debating on who's starting for Pittsburgh. Is it going to be Justin Fields? Is it going to be Russell Wilson? Well, I'll tell you this right now. If Russell Wilson didn't have a calf strain before week one hit, it'd be Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson won that job hands-free without even playing in week one. It was just about his health. Listen, Russell Wilson would not have signed the dotted line with Pittsburgh if it meant that there was any chance he wasn't going to start. It's that simple. And why shouldn't he? We've seen him be successful in Denver down the stretch last year. And then here he is in Pittsburgh, and it's like, wow, he's got some decent weapons. You think of George Pickens, you think of Pat Freiermuth, and you're like, he's got something here where he has a running game, this up-and-coming offensive line starting to be put together, and sky's the limit for Pittsburgh now. Now you see what the difference is between Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. It's great that you won with Justin Fields when you could, but look at the strength of your schedule. The beginning of the year was an easy walkthrough. Mm-hmm. You should have won those games. And Fields, when it came to crunch time, especially against the Colts, he had to throw the ball to come back and win. Couldn't do it. Was misconnecting, overthrowing. Now you insert Russell Wilson, who can make all the throws. Who's going to be the consummate veteran that he is, poised, and still rock out every single week. This is just a stepping stone of what this team and this offense is capable of. With Russell Wilson at the helm, we're telling you right now that he is the guy, and I cannot imagine in any scenario other than injury, Russell Wilson giving that up now.
Right, and like you said, you don't remember somebody throwing, or getting, 30-something plus points, in a while for Pittsburgh. And really, he set a milestone for the first quarterback to make their debut for the Pittsburgh Steelers to put up 30-plus points. So now he's already on that first start in, making a milestone with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And you bring up the valid point, and this is what some people don't get, and some people are kind of bringing it up, but almost like, yeah, but, because he was mentioned, he was named the starter, legit. Mm-hmm. And some people think that it's just, they got him first, so he has to be the starter. If you never traded for Russell Wilson, or if you never got Russell Wilson here and you never went and got Justin Fields, you just got Justin Fields. You wouldn't go and try and get a Russell Wilson afterwards. Well, maybe you might not have, but you already got Russell Wilson. And when you were in training camp, he beat him out. They said it, they're going to weigh it out. Yes, Russell Wilson did get paid. I get that or whatever, but he took a pay cut from what he was making at Denver.
Oh, he's not making anything.
I mean? So no, he's not. He's not making not from anything Pittsburgh right anyway. Now. So he's playing with Pittsburgh. A chip on his shoulder. He's got something to prove here. He's trying to get healthy. And he's a veteran. Like, he's something that Justin Fields really is not. And you saw it there. And you saw it in the production of George Pickens. Pickens was getting frustrated. He hasn't had, like, a 100-yard game since, week four or five, something like that. It was week four, 113 yards. Since that, he's been non-existent. You know, begging, get me the ball, things like that, and getting that deep threat. Yeah. And that's the thing that Justin Fields hasn't done. You saw it in times last night that on Sunday night, that Russell Wilson, he kept looking. Even when he had an option to run, which even sometimes I was yelling at the screen, just take off and run because you've got this. He kept looking downfield to try and make that play, and that's something that Justin Fields doesn't do. He tucks it in and goes for the run and doesn't want to make those throws, and that's the difference. It holds the offense back. He's not throwing that moon ball that Russell Wilson would throw.
I mean, honestly, for Fields, it's because he can't make that throw. It's not because he doesn't want to. It's because he can't. He's already proven it time and time again. Why do you think when Fields is in the pocket, he has all the time in the world to throw the ball? He's looking. Then he starts to panic and just takes off and run. Because he only looks for like maybe one receiver, maybe two. And if it's not there and there's no check down, he's going to take off. Because he's not patient. He's not poised. He can't make all the throws. He's proven this in Chicago. He did the same exact thing with the Chicago Bears, where he would hold on to the ball until the very end, where he just couldn't stay in the pocket anymore and took off and ran. And granted, he had amazing runs as a quarterback. He brought the Bears back to win a couple of games that way. But when it comes down to crunch time, when you're facing a better defense or you're down by a couple of scores, you need to throw the ball to get back into the game. He's just simply not the guy. He's already proven that. And I get for a lot of the Steeler fans out there that are still pro Fields, no matter what you say, they're like, well, he got us to 4-2. Okay. But when you're going to face tougher competition and you need to throw the football, you're going to be stagnant. He's not going to be able to get you that. He's not going to be able to make the plays. And it's in time and time again, it's already been proven. So why? And here's the other thing too, is Mike Tomlin also said in the press, he's like, they asked him about the situation with the quarterbacks and like, would you go back to Fields? And he said, well, he goes, let me put it to you this way. Fields played. We saw what he could do as our quarterback. Now Russell Wilson is in because he's healthy. We're going to see what he can do as our quarterback. If I make another quarterback change back to Fields, that's it. Mm-hmm. It's a permanent decision. Mm-hmm. So with that statement, that already tells you everything you need to know. From day one, they wanted Russell Wilson to be the starter. Obviously, he wasn't healthy enough. So now that he is, he's the starter going forward. If they do make a decision, it'll be a permanent change. So they wanted Russell Wilson to be the starter. He is now. And in one game, he was way more productive than Fields was in the last several.
Right, and I agree. You can see it. You can see it in the numbers. If you look at passing yards on offense here, 409 yards. Again, they haven't had that since week four again when they played the Indianapolis Colts. And it was in a shootout type of game where they're trying to get back into that game. So, of course, you're going to get some of that chunk garbage yardage here to get it there. And like you said, they beat the Falcons, the Broncos early on when the Broncos were still trying to figure things out, the Chargers, again, who they're struggling right now on top of it, and the Dallas Cowboys was the other team that they lost to, but beat your Vegas Raiders too. So, again, not a whole lot of competition. And you'll see coming up against some of these tough ones here after their bye week, you know, because they've got to walk in the park here, staying in New York here, and they get to play the Giants. It should be okay for them there. But then they got the Commanders.
I don't know.
They got the Commanders, the Ravens, you know, the Bengals coming up. So they've got a tough road, you know, coming up after the bye. So it'd be tough for them there. And like you said, when it comes down to it, if you've got Justin Fields there or Russell Wilson, give me Russell Wilson any day on that one. All right, we've got a first comment here from Grumblings Media. Holy smokes here in the house with us.
Whoa, the mothership.
Yeah, the mothership has landed with us. All right, here we go. Right. It's a big comment here. Let's see if I can screw this up. All right, that Steelers D got them to 4-2. In Fields' defense, he didn't screw it up for them. However, Russell Wilson's got the experience pedigree, and he's been humbled after letting his ego get the better of him. people sometimes need to get knocked down, and how they respond, it will determine their future. Wilson, for at least one game, has responded. And if he continues this, the Ravens-Steelers matchup will be one to watch. Yeah, I think so, too. And that's the thing. It's like you're talking about his first game back from injury, too, on top of it. And, you know, so he's going to be a little rusty, missed a couple of throws. And plus, missing time with these guys, getting on the same timing with the receivers. I mean, that's going to happen. So he does, I think, have an edge on his shoulder, or a chip on his shoulders. And sort of like what Will says here, I think, you know, he did kind of get a bigger head. You saw it there with Seattle. I think you saw it with the second Super Bowl when they showed up. When you're seeing camera clips of them rolling in with the limo and stuff like that, you know, at the second Super Bowl. And on the first one, they were like, hey, why not us? Here we are. We're the underdogs. Nobody knows us. And then the next one, he's riding along, low riding. You know, here we go. You know, show me the money. Here I am. I'm Russell Wilson. So I think knocking him down a peg a little bit here has helped a little bit to an extent. But I think also, like you said, he's got something to prove here. It's only the first week. Next week he should get better. It's a good game against the Giants. You said it could be close. Who knows? The Giants are up and down. I thought the Giants would give the Eagles a little tougher of a out matchup than they did than last week. It was brutal to watch on that one. But Russell Wilson, I think he deserves it. And then again, I don't think you wreck any kind of learning curve that like Justin Fields like was having or something like that, because you know we've talked about it. We talked about it with Aiden O'Connell. You've got him in there as the starter. See what you've got. Let's get him going, and then you know don't mess it up. You know what I mean? We'll see what you got. But Justin Fields, we've seen it before. We've seen the up and downs. We saw him with Chicago. He was here as just extra just in case. You know why not? It was worth taking a shot. You know. And so if you don't have Russell Wilson going forward for the next couple of seasons after this, you know, after his contract or whether he signs an extension or not, you can still win with Justin Fields. And then, you know, he could be your bridge quarterback to the next.
Well, that's the thing, too, though, is like Justin Fields is only going to take you so far. Like, no, Justin Fields didn't screw up those games.
No, he didn't screw it up, but that's not what you want.
Because the defense really impacted those games, and they still do. Like, that defense is really good. So anybody on offense that's struggling, they're going to be able to stay in the game longer and get a few more opportunities that way. But for Fields, he's not going to win you games. Like, he was able to run his way through the Raiders. Like, that's really most of that game was just him running. Like, he very rarely was throwing the football. And likewise with all the other games. He wasn't throwing dimes all over the football field to get them to get those wins. So, like, for me, he can only do so much. But when it comes time to do that little bit of extra and make all those throws and be concise and precise with them, he just can't do that. Like, he's already proven that in his career as a quarterback. So Russell Wilson, this is his time to shine as a Pittsburgh Steeler. And I get it. The ego thing was there for Russell Wilson. But you know what? You're going to get an ego when you have a lot of success in the NFL. It's just natural. Like, it's just going to happen. So, like, it's good. He has confidence. It's good he has a little bit of an ego, because you need that at this level. You know, and just for the fact of bringing him a down a peg, like, I think there's no such thing as bringing him down a peg. I think, listen, he was successful in Denver. They just jettisoned him out. Like, it was, I don't know the real reason why. Like, was it contract? Was it just Sean Payton and him? You know, we saw that on the sidelines where there's a little bit of a rift, and he just disregarded him, wanted him out. So now here he is in Pittsburgh. He signed a one-year deal, everybody. Like, this is not a long-term long-term answer for Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh was rolling the dice on Russell Wilson, and they pulled the trade-off to get Fields just in case it's an insurance policy. Mm-hmm. So for the future, that's going to be the interesting part for this whole situation, is after this year, no matter whether they be successful or not successful, does Russell Wilson sign an extension after this? Does he look to go into free agency to maybe perhaps pursue a different team? And if so, are the Steelers really comfortable with giving a longer-term deal to Justin Fields? because that's right there. You already have seen now, obviously Russell Wilson has to compile more success down the season so we can get more of a spectrum of what he's capable of with this team. But that all being said, what's mm-hmm. Pittsburgh going to do at the end of the year? Because mm-hmm. Russell Wilson is not young. Fields is.
Yeah. Yep.
Russell Wilson is the guy that can make all the throws and help you win games. Fields is a different type of quarterback. He's more of a running guy than he is a passer, but he is younger. So mm-hmm. that's going to be the interesting part, because I feel like Russell Wilson will be successful as we go through the season, and then it's going to make the decision way tougher.
Right, and it's funny watching the game when you see him early on. You saw Justin Fields there with his helmet on by his sidelines, you know, ready to go in at any time. And I wonder what the conversation was before the game. Like, did they tell him, hey, because I know even the broadcast crew said, hey, they're even designed plays where you might see both of them, at the same time or whatever. Was he expecting that? And we didn't see him at all. And then eventually towards the end of the game, you see him, he just took his helmet off and was just chilling.
Because
I wasn't sure what the situation was with that one.
There was situations where in the red zone, because with Denver anyway, Russell Wilson struggled in the red zone with the Denver Broncos to score mm-hmm. points. Obviously there's a lot of variables with that. It could have been the play calling. It could have been Russell Wilson himself, what have you. But with Pittsburgh, that was something that they were concerned about, where with this offense, with Arthur Smith calling the plays and everything, could Russell Wilson be successful when they get into the red zone? And you noticed in the first half, he struggled mightily, like just on sustaining drives. But even when they get to the red zone, things weren't looking good. So didn't work out. Then you look in the second half, and it was a tale of two halves. Like yep. you've seen the Russell Wilson that we're normally used to transform and just balled out. Yep. Where that conversation was had with the team and Fields, and they're like, well, we might bring you in the red zone, so that way you're a little bit different guy. You're a faster runner, and they might mix in some plays that way. But in the end, they didn't need him. Like Russell Wilson proved to Pittsburgh that, like, hey, no, we're good. I can score in the red zone. We're fine. And then that's why Fields was still standing there waiting for another shot. But so far, maybe they do install that in the offense, you know, at a later date, maybe depending on the team that they're facing, to, you know, trick some defenses and whatnot. But they didn't need it the last game.
All right, seeing that the trade deadline is looming, it's coming around, so we're going to be hearing things, you know, who knows, news might break tonight, you know, while we're live here.
Well, we're already hearing stuff.
You know, so there's definitely a lot of rumors coming around. So one we wanted to touch on quick is rumors that now the Rams may trade, you know, Cooper Kupp before the deadline, and that they're talking to some teams right now, reaching out to see, you know, what's the line look here for a Cooper Kupp out there. What's the value?
The Rams. Now this is the Rams. The Rams have reached out to multiple teams, as the report has stated, and they are asking for a second round pick for Cooper Kupp. They are looking to move him and his immense contract. Mm-hmm. That is the sticking point. The Rams, however, have said that they are willing to take on some of the contract. We don't know the number value of that, but at least they're willing to take on some of that contract to kind of alleviate the pressure to whatever team, if in fact he does get traded. But they are looking for a second round pick, not a conditional, not anything stupid like that. They're looking for a stone cold second round pick. He is 29 years old right now, and he is due a ton of money. Mm-hmm. So my thing is, here's the hard part of this, is if they even come close to a trade being consummated, this dude has not been the healthiest receiver, and he's just getting older every single year. Every single year seems like he's getting injured. He misses 4 games on average every year, and sometimes it's worse. Sometimes he misses half the season. So it's a very difficult situation to trade him, because there are plenty of teams that need receiver help right now. We all see it. Kansas City Chiefs yep. have been one of them that's been kind of in every single conversation. But man, I gotta say, like, this dude, if I'm an organization that's, you know, you're going all in, you're trying to win the Super Bowl this year, giving up that second round pick is peanuts. However, down the road, the money that you're going to have to pay him, and being 29 years old, and, mm-hmm. you know, next year he'll be 30. He'll hit the century mm-hmm. mark there. So, and the fact that he's injured so often, I don't know if I can give a second round pick for Cooper Kupp. I mean, to me, that's a hard sticking point. To me, it's going to have to be a third round pick, maybe even a fourth round pick because of right. his injury history. So, I mean, for me, I get why the Rams are moving on from him, because if you look at their cap space right now, currently, they only have $2 million under the cap. So mm-hmm. it's not like they're looking to clear some extra money, move on from an 80 wide receiver. But I think this is going to be a hard sell. Now, I think there's going to be plenty of teams interested. But who's going to actually bite and take the contract on along with Cooper Kupp's talents?
Yeah, and that's the sticking point, Joe. It's like the dude's already he's always injured, right? So asking a two, I think, is astronomical. I don't think you're going to get that. Again, Davante Adams is a guy that's never injured at all. You know what I mean? And he just went for a three mm-hmm. conditional. So I'm in the same kind of train of thought that you are. I'm saying even fourth conditional fourth to make it a third if he stays healthy throughout the playoffs or whatever team he might go to, just because you don't know. Yes, he's got some talent when he's out there, but say if you're a team and you are dire at wide receiver where injuries was an issue, and then you get an injury-prone receiver, that's just gambling completely. So to give away a pick for that, I'm not giving away. You know, picks are valuable nowadays too. I'm not giving away something of like a second for a guy that potentially couldn't even make it to the playoffs at this point right now. So that's very dangerous. They might want to shop them and stuff like that, but it's kind of really to unload that contract. And in March, I think if he's on the roster, he gets like a $7.5 million roster bonus. Five of it's fully guaranteed. Like you said, they're trying to avoid paying all that money for an injury-prone player, but who's going to take it? You said even the Chiefs. Yeah, I get that too, but again, they're getting injuries too left and right, so the value's got to be there. If I'm a team going for it, I'm going for the values there, but I'm looking at other teams that might have even an aging still veteran. I think that can fit in my scheme that I think could just go in and play. Like, I wouldn't mind reaching out even for, you know, pick up the phone and call the Tennessee Titans and say, what do you guys want for DeAndre Hopkins even at this point? You know, they need to shed something here. They're not a winning team. You know, I'm sure DeAndre wants to go somewhere else where he has the potential to win. He's not going to be super effective as he was in his prime, but still a veteran that can go in and play.
I mean, I would make the argument that Hopkins to me is a better value and a better receiver than Cooper Kupp. I understand Cooper Kupp is really good when he's healthy, but DeAndre Hopkins to me is a playmaker and always has been. Yeah, his top end speed might have slowed down a little bit, but the dude can still run routes. The dude has one of the best set of hands in the game. Like, give me DeAndre Hopkins for a mid round pick and I'll be a happy dude. Like, that's right. Where I would set my sights at, just like you were mentioning, calling Tennessee. For the Rams, and it doesn't stop with Cooper Kupp. That's the fishy thing here, is that there's even rumors out there that they might be willing to shop Matt Stafford as well. And if that is at all true, if that's at all true, which I don't agree with this report. I think this is just a fake rumor that's out there. Because that would mean that you're giving up on the season. That's what that would mean. Is if you're willing to trade Stafford away and also Cooper Kupp, that means that you're just giving up. And I don't think that's the case. I think Cooper Kupp, the rumor about Cooper Kupp makes a lot of sense for the Rams financially to move on from him. Plus the fact that he's constantly injured, maybe he can go to a playoff caliber team and help them possibly make the Super Bowl that way. That's what the Rams are looking at this as. But as far as compensation, I think it's a too high of an asking price. If Davante Adams couldn't get a second round pick easily, then what makes you think that Cooper Kupp, you're going to be able to get a second rounder from a team? Now, the only other way that could happen is desperation. And we've seen it happen before. Everybody points to the LA Chargers. Why aren't they trading for a wide receiver? They could really use one. And everybody is right. Like, everybody that's saying that is correct. They definitely could use another wide receiver to kind of help with the passing attack. And yes, they're missing out on receivers. You got the Kansas City Chiefs, where Juju Smith-Schuster just reaggravated a hamstring injury, just like Mike Evans. He looks like he's going to be out for a month at least. And you got other guys dropping like flies, you know, and you think about also Deontay Johnson from Carolina, who his name has been in trade circles the last couple of weeks. Maybe he gets moved. So it's basically a buyer's market right now for teams that are looking to get rid of players. And Cooper Kupp is just one of those dudes. But again, you have to be careful, because Cooper Kupp is a certain type of wide receiver. He's more of a possession guy than he is a guy who has long speed. So if you're getting Cooper Kupp, you better make sure that you really need like a slot receiver, kind of like a number two type of guy, over that number one high-end type of a receiver on the outside. So Cooper Kupp can play everywhere on the football field, but again, he's not a guy who's going to beat everybody deep straight down the sideline. So teams need to be aware of that, and we know that they are. But this is a weird situation, honestly, because the Rams are right in the hunt. Like, they've lost a few games, but they're teetering on coming back once they get healthy. We've seen that Puka Nacua has now – they've opened up his 21-day return window. Looks like he'll be back this week. And that is an immense relief for the offense. And then if you couple that with Cooper Kupp, if he's still there, now you're looking like the Rams all offense of last year with Stafford and this young defense to kind of maybe, you know, storm their way back into contention.
Right. And, you know, that's the thing. This division, no team is really pulling out here, you know, to show that they're the best team in this division right now. It is so close. It's week to week. You know, 49ers look like they're struggling right now. Just as we kind of wrote off the Seattle Seahawks, they come out with a big win last week. The Arizona Cardinals, they go and win last night against the Chargers. But they've been losing too. So, I mean, it's anybody's ball game here in this division right now. It is so tight that nobody wants it here. You know what I mean? So for them to kind of fail, it doesn't seem like Sean McVay and this team, they don't do this, it seems like to me. You know, they wouldn't just screw the season right now. They're like, screw it, we can't make it, you know. Let's get Stafford now. Honestly, you know, Stafford isn't exactly playing the best right now, but a lot of elite quarterbacks out there that don't have a lot of talent due to injuries aren't playing very well.
No, but like this move would make sense for the Rams. They have some young up-and-coming wide receivers that they could get on the field. Like, you look at Tutu Atwell, who has played amazing in the absence of Puka and Cooper Kupp. And quite honestly, Stafford's kind of favorite go-to guy right now.
Yeah.
But they also have other guys like Whittingham, who kind of has come on. You know, so they have some younger wide receivers that they could implement into this offense if they, in fact, trade Cooper. And it would make sense where they get rid of the sorry to say it there, Coop, but aging wide receiver who's heavily injured and that gigantic contract that comes along with him. If you're able to move on from that, that's going to free you up for next year too, signing and bringing in new talent. So I think this move makes a lot of sense for just Cooper Kupp.
Yeah.
But let's wait and see if this actually gets pulled off.
All right. Yeah, absolutely, Joe. Yeah, so who knows? We're going to be keeping our fingers close to the trade pulse here. We're hearing rumors tonight, and we will continue to tomorrow, too, as well, right, once it gets down to the deadline. So I'm interested to see who gets moved. I know we've talked about a few different players out there that potentially could get picked up, or I would be interested if I'm some of these teams. Yeah. That are you know, having the talent be depleted here, like 49ers too as well, you know, with the injuries that they've had too, things like that. A team that's contending that wants to make that push here and get somebody healthy from somebody, a team that's struggling right now, and they're not really going anywhere, so they'd rather just kind of unload a guy, you know, for the hell of it, to get some more picks to try to build themselves. Right. in the draft moving forward.
The crazy thing, too, about this situation, now you think of Brandon Ayuk going down. Like, Debo being beat up, Brandon Ayuk going down. My thing is, like, the Niners could very easily call up for DeAndre Hopkins. Like, that to me would be an excellent move for the Niners if they were able to, because you're not going to have to give up a lot in compensation to get him. Right. And, yeah, you're going to have to – and you have the money, too, to pay the rest of his salary. So it makes a lot of sense for them to kind of pull that trade off, stay in the hunt. Now you got Hopkins, Debo when he gets healthy, which I'm assuming because it is an illness more than anything that once he gets over that illness, he'll be back. I'm hoping for Niners fans' sake that he'll be back this week. But I know that the Niners don't want to rush him back too early either. So you think about also the McCaffrey situation.
Yeah.
Everybody's kind of getting a little amped up, a little hyped for when is he going to return. It's still not anywhere close. Like, that's the thing is, like, the projected return for him might be week 10, might be week 11, possibly. But in the end, this team, once it gets healthy, we all know that this Niners team is going to be a difficult team to deal with. And right now, they're going through their bumps and bruises just like other teams are. You think about the Saints right now, decimated by injuries. It's basically they've got backup players starting along the offense and defensive side of the ball. It's getting to the point where it's just almost comical at this point, how many injuries that they have. And even though they have injuries, there was a lot of speculation about Alvin Kamara being traded. You know, we saw that interaction with Sean Payton and him at the end of the game. And somebody said that he said to come get him and that you know, for trade. But guess what? Saints fans rejoice because he just signed a 2-year extension, $24.5 million. He is staying with the New Orleans Saints, not going anywhere, not getting traded. So there was speculation about that too. Along with Bryce Young being brought up as yet again a trade option for maybe a team that's interested. Now, we've heard this a couple times, but then from the organization standpoint, they're like, oh, no, we're not interested in trading him. We're going to keep him. Watch out for Bryce Young possibly getting moved because Dave Canales, he's not tied to this guy. He didn't pick and draft this guy as his quarterback. So because of that, I'm not saying it might happen, but it's definitely possible where you could see Bryce Young maybe go to a new team. We've already seen, like, there's teams where quarterbacks are dropping like flies, too. Look at the Raiders are one of them. You know, Aiden O'Connell breaks his hand, leaves the game. Now seems like he's going to miss the next 4 to 6 weeks with a broken thumb. By that time, it's going to be over. The Raiders bring in Desmond Ridder of all quarterbacks out there. And from all sources are saying that he might even start this week against the Chiefs.
Oh, boy.
That'll be hilarious. but this is the kind of thing where, like, you think about Bryce Young, to me that would have made a lot of sense for a team that just lost a quarterback. Why don't you give up a low-round pick, bring Bryce Young in, see what you can do with
him. And maybe you're the ones that can maybe develop him, too, as well, on top of it. Who knows? You never know. We've seen things like that.
And you know, Jim, it's also not just about where he was. Maybe a change in environment with a new offensive scheme might work better with him. So you never know. But we'll keep tabs on that for you guys as well.
And
speaking about quarterbacks, I just got to bring this up. Sadly, Andy Dalton has been involved in a car accident today in Charlotte. And the sad thing about that is it wasn't just Andy Dalton, too. It was also his family, dog, his kids, his wife were all involved. The only little bit of details that I have is that Dalton is being evaluated right now by medical personnel along with his family. So condolences, and we pray for Andy Dalton and his family to pull through, and hopefully everybody's okay. Everybody will get healthy and all that. So just wanted
thank you. I definitely wanted to hear that. Prayers to them. One team I was thinking that I think should also look for a wide receiver, and I was thinking of the DeAndre Hopkins or something like that too as well.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I mean, with what happened to them the other night, losing their two top receivers right there and leaving Baker Mayfield there with nothing, like, you know, and like you said, he's trying to develop something with some of those guys there, but you need somebody else there too to help make a push, because I think they're playoff bound. For them to lose their receivers like that, I think that instantly shuts the door for them, or makes it that much harder for them to make a deeper run. And I think they feel that they can, especially while you've got Baker there and things like that. And so I think they are in the talks potentially for getting a wide receiver too as well.
100%. And there's a lot of teams. Like, look at what the Saints just did too. The Saints just signed Valdez-Scantling, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, to kind of alleviate the loss that they've already gone through. You know, Rashid Shaheed is now gone for the year. You know, Chris Olave is coming back from a concussion. He's due to be back this week, which is good. But again, you look at that team and how decimated they are by injuries. Their starting quarterback still isn't back. Their offensive line is missing a couple of starters. Their defensive corners now, Marshawn Lattimore left the game last week. Mm-hmm. Don't know his status right now. And Paulson Adebo, he's done for the year. They just lost both starting corners last week, along the other injuries that have been piling up and mounting up. So that team is in dire need of help. If they want to keep their divisional hopes alive, they're going to have to make some more moves other than just signing MVS.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of teams that now have been influenced by this, by the injuries piling receivers. And you think about Hopkins possibly being on the move. I think it makes a lot of sense, even for the Titans, honestly. Like you mentioned, teams that are struggling that have, you know, weapons that could dispose of them, maybe get some compensation for the future draft and keep rebuilding that team. I've also heard of, you mentioned the Titans with Hopkins. I've also heard them trying to move on from Treylon Burks is on the trade block right now, which it is an interesting player because he's still young, still in his prime, but often injured and no production in the NFL yet. Like he hasn't had the kind of wake up moment in the NFL and actually produce for a team. So you're not going to get anything more than a seventh round pick for a guy like that. And if that's the case, are you looking to move on from him and Hopkins? Because at that point, you're just admitting that you're just giving up on the season.
You're done.
I understand what Hopkins leaving. It makes a lot of sense for both the team and
the player.
Obviously he wants to win a championship. It was baffling to us that he chose Tennessee when he was a free agent, but now he's probably regretting that choice, seeing where he is right now. So we'll keep tabs on all these receivers. We'll keep tabs on to see if the Chiefs make any moves, to see if the Buccaneers make any moves, you know, and any team out there that is still looking for wide receivers.
Yep. Out of the teams that made the trades here for the wide receivers last week, the Bills, you know, right off the bat here, Amari Cooper's got a touchdown with them, and Davante Adams his first game here with the Jets wasn't so good. They were trying to get involved here and there, but turnovers again by Aaron Rodgers. I thought they were running the ball effectively too in that game too, and the defense was doing well to keep him in it, but turnovers kill you. You know, that's the thing.
Well, I mean, here's the thing is, for the first time, Jim, I don't know how you feel about this, but for the first time watching Aaron Rodgers play, I saw a glimpse of not the same Rodgers that I'm used to. Mm-hmm. I saw a glimpse of Rodgers making mistakes that he doesn't normally make. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Not connecting like he normally connects with his receivers. So although that he made some plays look and executed them well, there was also points in the game where I'm just like, huh, Rodgers is better than that, isn't he? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't remember him missing those opportunities. And now I'm starting to see that little bit of faultiness in his game, and it makes me think, like, maybe Green Bay was right. Maybe Green Bay knew that he was possibly descending a little bit and made the right decision to move on from him knowing that they had Love in their back pocket.
Yep.
Now with the Jets, now with Devontae added to the Jets, Garrett Wilson on there, Tyler Conklin at tight end, Breece Hall. There's no reason to not put up points, especially on offense. Look at Devontae, his post-game interview. He even said that he was very disappointed and he's not in a good place mentally right now, and said that they have too many players to not put points on the board and be a better team.
Yep. Yeah, and we understand some of it wasn't exactly his fault. That Garrett Wilson interception there, you know, that should have been a catch. It hit him in the shoulder. You got to bring it in.
He admits that.
But you know, I think also body language, things like that, the way Aaron Rodgers has been carrying himself around lately, I think is different than normal. Like, he's still his own Aaron Rodgers in a sense, but I think body language is a bit different too.
You know what tells me?
Everything
it's something
seems
weird.
Off, doom and gloom.
What it seems like, and I could be wrong, but what it seems like is that I never thought I would say this about Rodgers. It seems like he's just there for the money. Like, it just kind of seems like he's kind of going through the motions, is going to collect one big paycheck left before he retires, and then before he walks off in the sunset. I mean, when you have what the Jets have now on offense, and to be honest, if we go back to that Steeler game, the one thing that the Steelers did not have an answer for was Breece Hall. Every time Rodgers dumped the ball off to Breece Hall, he'd just have a one big chunk play after another. And I was surprised that they didn't stay with that game plan throughout the game because they just didn't have an answer for him. But they went away from it. They tried to throw the ball more down the field, and just things weren't working out. So I don't know, man. I think that the Jets, even though they added Devontae Adams, I thought that was a great move by the Jets. But and I know it's one game. Maybe it'll be better next week. But just because you add one player doesn't solve all your issues.
Right. Right. And it just seems like to me, like you said, I wouldn't go as far as saying he's just there to collect the paycheck and then, you know, peace him out. I think he's older, he's tired, and I don't think he's engaged with the players. You know, I mean, yes, he loves that Devontae's there, you know, and now his eyes lit up for that, but when they're down, things like that, he's not being a leader to anybody. He's staying to himself. He's kind of just like, oh, man, this is unbelievable. You know, not exactly putting blame on himself. Not rallying the team. Not, you know what I mean, fiery. Like, it seems like he's lost the fire that he once had, well, I think, for the game, and it's not there.
I mean, you noticed there was a couple points in that game where he expressed big-time frustration, was yelling at the receivers, was yelling at his line on the sidelines, and he just had it. Like, I feel like he's reached a point where he can't stand making mistakes because he's so used to being, like, back in the days of Green Bay, he's regimented on being perfection, you know, just establishing perfection as an offense, not making stupid bonehead mistakes, not missing opportunities. But the Jets are doing exactly that every single week. So I don't question his fire. I think that's still there. But it's the frustration that he has to deal with this team that is kind of like makes it a little bit different of a situation for Rodgers and how he perceives, you know, these new players that are around him.
Right. Right. And then getting over penalties too, as well, too, with stalled drives, which he's always had to keep fighting. When you're against all that all the time and making it harder for you to score because of penalties, stuff like that, that is frustrating too and overcome. So,
absolutely.
But it's tough. So yeah, we're going to get to our picks in just a little bit. Once again, we appreciate you guys checking us out here. Make sure you leave some comments too. What do you guys think about some of the subjects we're talking about? If you have something you guys want to bring up too, you can always bring it up in your comments. We'll change topics depending on what you want to talk about too as well. We did find something that the NFL now is considering. Again, we talked about this a little bit a few weeks ago when Roger Goodell had talked about, on I think it was Good Morning Football or somewhere, that he was like, Man, the accuracy is ridiculous now with kickers and what they're doing, blah, blah. You know, and we're considering moving things, you know, and stuff and that. And do we get rid of this and that? And then also the kickoffs they want to change and blah, 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 blah. And so now the latest and greatest bonehead idea now is they want to consider narrowing the goalpost now due to the accuracy and stuff, which maybe they've got some kind of statistics somewhere that they're grinding that these guys are more accurate. But I even saw Justin Tucker with some of his stats. He's missing some now, I think. But in this one weekend, I saw two doinks off the goalpost. They're missing. Like, I don't think they're like lights out now all of a sudden. Like, I don't get where they're getting this from.
Well, you'll look at what throughout the league, most kickers now are really good. Like, it's just that's what it is. Like, there's definitely a few teams that are still searching for that
right, but how is that a problem?
The guy that's more consistent. But here's the thing, though, is that the NFL has always found a way to screw the game up. They just have. Mm-hmm. They keep changing rules here and there to, like, look at what's happening right now. The kickoffs. Are you kidding me? This is not football. We're utilizing what the XFL did. And we put it into the NFL and saying, hey, let's try this out because it looks and seems like it's safer. It looks like it's going to save some guys from injury. It's the most ridiculous looking thing ever. When you watch college football, their kickoffs are back to that traditional way. It's more exciting to watch. And yes, there's hard hits, but that's why we love the game. We love the hard hitting. We love the big time plays off of a kickoff run. That's what we want. And now you're even talking about leaking into special teams and seeing how much more we can critique it. Are you kidding me? Like, oh, we're possibly going to narrow the game. Let's just start an arena football league at this point. Like, if we're going to narrow the freaking field goal post, and then let's just put nets up behind them like they normally do. And then let's
if you make it through, you get 2 points right there.
It's getting absolutely ridiculous. The NFL constantly trying to change the game and trying to so-called make it safer. But now you're saying, well, the accuracy of kickers has somehow excelled exponentially. They don't miss much. And we need to challenge them even more. Just like you said, Jim, we've seen every single week this season across all of the games, there's always a missed field goal. There's a missed extra point. It still happens. So what are you talking about? Now you want to physically change the kicking game to challenge them even more? And if you do that, what I'm concerned about with is, depending on how much you narrow those field goal posts, now you might see a huge increase in misses where it devalues the kicker.
Yep.
And now what's the point of spending big money on kickers? Because if they keep missing narrower field goals, what's the point of even having them now? Like, it's just for kickoffs? Like, so I think this is a dangerous idea for the NFL and something that will backfire immensely against them if they, in fact, go through with this.
Right. I was thinking the same thing, too. A position that has been trying to find value on the team for so long that they are now, and now you want to diminish that? Now you want to penalize them for that? I mean, that's been the long-running joke forever. The kicker, he's out there every once in a while. He gets paid to kick. He misses it. I'm like, dude, you get paid to do one thing. Kick the ball. Just do it. You know what I mean? And now we're finding guys that can, and we're like, what the hell? This guy's making it every single time. This is bullshit. We need to change something here. This is outrageous. Yeah. More scoring? We can't have this, especially without a kicker. You know what I mean? It makes no sense. It's almost like taking, again, you see what they're doing with the passing game, trying to get more scoring in the passing game. Now it's all of a sudden like they decide on the defensive end, all right, there's too much big, deep balls getting made, for touchdowns. We're not going to call defensive holding ever. you know, on that or pass interference ever. And we're just going to, you know, eliminate that because now we can stop because it's almost guaranteed on the deep ball that they're going to be able to get this because of the, you know, what they've done to the defense or something like that. Hindering a great pass rusher that's, you know, dominant. No, he's way too dominant. We need to put some, you know, we need to nerf him for a little bit. We need to put some training wheels on this guy. This seems stupid. I just don't get it. Just stop messing with it all. It was fine. It's been fine for, you know, years, you know, 60 years, whatever.
Centuries.
Come on, man. We've been playing like this for so long. Let's just stop already. Why are you changing everything?
Yeah,
I just don't get it.
It's ridiculous. I hope it doesn't go through. I hope they don't change this any further. And, in fact, we have also known that they are even going to be looking back into the kickoff rule. They might even change that back. Something similar to what it used to be before. Hopefully they do, because I'm sorry, it's not exciting to watch whenever there's a kickoff either.
Right, right. And again, for me, like I don't even want to see that. If their one thing they want to change now is say, hey, there's too many touchbacks. Let's just move the ball even closer to midfield. That's just ridiculous. Because again, for me, I like the whole fact that you got this, you know, 100-yard field that you're supposed to be playing on, opposite sides here. You've been winning a game for a while now or whatever. You just take the lead again. You kick the ball off to somebody, and all of a sudden they potentially could take it right near the half mark again to where you need to really basically win with 10 to 15 seconds left on the clock to almost, you know that you have no time for that other team to score. Because to where they're moving the positioning closer to midfield to where at any given time, any given second, there's an opportunity, which I don't really like that whole fact. I like the fact that defenses play, they grind it out, you make a drive, you drive to, you know, to get to the end zone from the opposite end. I just don't like the, you know, how they move it closer to midfield.
This is the point where the NFL and their so-called experiment just hasn't worked. And because of that, it's like you can't tell them any different. Like they don't want to be wrong. So in order to prove you wrong, they're like, well, we'll move the spot of the ball up farther to midfield if you don't kick it in this area and stop doing touchbacks, because we want kickoffs to happen. Or otherwise, you're going to get majorly penalized. We're going to give them the ball at the 50, the 45, the 40, wherever the case may be. But that to me is absolutely asinine. Then you're completely changing the field position game. And that's going to ruin, because you're going to have just a short field. You're basically going to end up with a arena football field length of a drive to score on kickoffs if they don't abide by your rules. Stop just screwing up. All your changes keep screwing up the NFL from what we loved about it before. Just stop doing stupid shit.
Yep. All right. Joe, we've got a new Blitz Nation person in the house with us. Phil K is out there, says Aubrey's too good. There's a lot of good kickers out there, which we see, but Aubrey
kickers,
also misses too. He missed not too long ago, 2 weeks ago, I think, in a game to lose the game for them. So they miss still. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they do, but like Aubrey is him. Like he is he is the top dog, or if not one of the top dogs in the kicking game today. And there's a bunch of them, you know?
Right.
So it's, for the teams that have really good kickers, they're perfectly fine with whatever you do. But like, my thing is you should stop, as the NFL should stop changing the game physically just because, either for safety reasons or you just want to see what works a little bit better, whatever the case may be. It's getting to the point where you're trying to manipulate and change too many things, too many details in the game, and it's literally changing how we view the game. It's literally changing how it's coached, and it's not a good thing at all. The excitement and the expectation to me on kickoff is to see that kick boomed into the end zone and have that returner come flying out. And wherever he can get it, he can get it. Sometimes You might be lucky and you get that 90 to 100 yard return for a touchdown, and that's what makes the game exciting. So why take that away? Go back to that some way, form, or fashion. The first stage of this is when they got rid of the wedge block, when they were still allowing kickoffs, but they're like, well, you can't have a wedge block because too many guys are flying in and taking your legs out, so we got to break up the wedge block. Okay, fine. I was okay with that. I'm like, all right, whatever. But now you're changing how to kick off, and you're penalizing kickers for kicking it out the end zone. So that to me is ridiculous. Let's get back to the way it was, and then we'll all be happy.
Right, and kind of like I wanted to bring up the one fact when he talks about Brandon Aubrey. Where did the Dallas Cowboys find him from, though? You know what I mean? And this is the thing with – the NFL, they want to expand. They want to say, let's go international. They want to say, let's have these guys have an open opportunity to become kickers or players in the NFL. He's a former soccer player, you know what I mean, turned now NFL kicker. And this is what teams are doing. They're reaching out, trying to find these other types of players from other sports that fit the mold into the NFL. And if you're telling the teams that they should do that and you're capable of doing this, and that's the plan, and they wanted to be internationally known, then you're going to find better talent around because it's a bigger pool you're pulling from. You can't tell me that if you're not just grabbing from, you know, college or American athletes, and now you're getting some from the, you know, that's why they have the whole international, the pool that they have, you know, set up there, you know, the portal. To get into the NFL. They want to find better players from other regions and around the world to make even a better sport. So when you have this, you're going to have this type of effect, I think. And then for you to kind of put training wheels on it, I think is just ridiculous. So
yeah, agreed.
There you go. And that's the final word for that. And thank you so much, everybody. We're going to get to our picks now. It's our pick segment, Joe. We've done a little better. You know, this past week here, we did better again.
I'll tell you right now, the games that we handpicked that we said were going to be the must-watch games were, in fact, the must-watch games. Like, the Lions-Vikings was an amazing game all the way down to the wire. The Vikings just had that little bit of a slight lead right towards the end, but then Detroit stormed all the way down the field and were able to capitalize at the end and get the W. Good for Detroit. That was one hell of a game to watch. Mm-hmm. I can't wait until they meet again. It's going to be epic. And then even the Ravens, honestly, the Ravens and Buccaneers game started off to look like was going to be an amazing game all the way through. Then, obviously, you look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and them kind of stumble in on offense. I know Mike Evans went down fairly early. He was done for the game. And I feel like when that transpired, it changed the environment and the atmosphere in that stadium. Mm-hmm. The teammates kind of felt for Mike Evans, but at the same time, it almost led to like a slight distraction in a way to say, and it changed the complexity of that game going forward. So hopefully Mike Evans gets healthy faster than sooner than later. But those two games right there, I'll say, and surprisingly, the Cardinals and Chargers game. Say what you want.
That one.
But I love defensive games. Ooh. And that game was the epitome of a defensive game. The Cardinals. And we talked about this last week about how we were impressed with this defense and the defense for the Cardinals. That was the MVP of the game is that defense for the Cardinals. Did what was necessary, executed the right plays at the right times, and shut down the Chargers running game from the beginning. And they made the Chargers one-dimensional, and you saw Justin Herbert come to life too, because when they made him one-dimensional, he was still able to sling that rock like he normally did in last year and distribute the football to, get this, three different tight ends, not wide receivers.
Yeah, not wide receivers.
They were throwing the ball left and right to tight ends. And Ladd McConkey also was involved. Mm-hmm. But, that game was an amazing game.
Yeah.
Went right down to the end and literally right down to the last few seconds for the final field goal. Yeah, great.
But if Justin Herbert gets that one throw towards the end zone at the end of that game, closer, and it's not like a 20-yard long, if it's uncatchable, he might even get the pass interference on that play and potentially get the touchdown.
That was That was the receiver running the wrong route.
Yep.
The receiver stopped running down the sideline. Yep. That's where he was throwing it to meet him down that far. And the fact that the receiver screwed up, it wasn't Herbert. Everybody was putting the blame at Herbert, and they're like, why did you throw it so far over his head? No, the freaking receiver was supposed to go up the sideline to catch that ball, and he broke off that route. So miscommunication
there. Yep, not having that guy there, good receiver.
It possibly cost them the game, but here's the thing, is that this is what you're going to run into with the Chargers and Jim Harbaugh. This is how he wants to run his team. He wants to run heavy and only throw once in a while. But when you get into these games where you become one-dimensional, you got to throw to get back into it, and a lot of times it's not going to work out. This was just happened to be one of those times it didn't work out.
All right, so here we go, getting to the picks. This is our picks right now. We're coming back a little bit. It was a rough start at first, but we're in the plus side again now, so we're doing a lot better right now at this point. But got a couple games so far. Joe, let's get right into it. Thursday night, we've got the Minnesota Vikings and the Los Angeles Rams here. Vikings, I think, can bounce back after this win. The team's so good right now. The Rams, they're struggling. Again, like I said, Matthew Stafford has more interceptions than touchdowns. You know, they're dealing with their own problems here, you know, potentially trading Cooper Kupp too on top of it. I don't think the Rams really have a home field advantage here, you know, at SoFi. It's a beautiful stadium, but I think I'm going to say the Minnesota Vikings are upset about that last loss to the Detroit Lions. I think they're going to bounce back here and pull out the victory in L.A.
Yeah, and by no means was it either team's fault for winning or losing.
Was
just a well-played game on both sides, and it was amazing to see. You're right, Minnesota is going to want to get back onto the winning side. The Rams, and here's the other interesting thing, is that there was even rumors of them saying that maybe Stafford being traded to Minnesota, which I don't understand at all. When how well Sam Darnold is playing, it doesn't make any sense at all. I think that was kind of like fake news that was just put out there. But needless to say, now the Vikings are playing against them. So I think, obviously, Stafford would love to be in Minnesota
because
you don't have the receivers at your disposal. But you might get a little bit of good news. I don't think Puka Nacua is going to be that quick of a turnaround to be able to be ready for tomorrow night, or I should say Thursday night. But in the end, he'll be back the following week, but it's not going to be soon enough. I think the Rams are going to be okay. Like, I feel like they get by with the younger wide receivers that they have. But again, the defense, although, has been playing amazing football and continue to do so. So that's what's going to keep them in certain games. But Minnesota, I think, has too much firepower, you know, with Justin Jefferson, with Jordan Addison. And who knows? We might see, you know, T.J. Hockenson make an appearance, you know, on Thursday night, because he's getting pretty close to being ramped back up. So, same thing with Aaron Jones. You know, he was banged up a little bit. Looks like he might be returning. So, Minnesota, one of those teams that are playing great football. I think they continue to do so. I think they're going to get the win against the Rams.
All right, next we got the Baltimore Ravens and the Cleveland Browns. Cleveland Browns are just terrible right now. The Baltimore Ravens really looking really good, and that defense even on top of things. Some of the hits they were putting on last night were ridiculous. It was just nuts. It was like old-time, you know, Baltimore defense type of hits and stuff. But Marlon Humphrey banged up a little bit here for the defensive side of the ball, though. But offensively, on top of it, looked really well. Again, they still got to mix up the run and the pass. There was a time where they were still trying to do it, seemed like, without Derrick Henry. But then all of a sudden, they gave Derrick Henry the ball, and then it opened up the game again. Like you said, it was going back and forth. And Tampa Bay, really, if Mike Evans catches that touchdown, they had all the momentum in the world in that game. It looked like they had Baltimore on the ropes. But then Baltimore was like, all right, let's slow this pace down here. Let's give it to Derrick Henry. And he broke off some big runs, too. And that boy was trucking, and he was booking. You know, second fastest time, I think, maybe this year, you know, in his run, miles per hour. And that even helped Lamar Jackson, too, on top of it. And he hit a couple sweet dimes on some deep balls, too, as well. They're getting better. And I just like the matchup here, even though in Cleveland, I don't think it matters. Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, you know, the Browns are one of those teams that has sustained a lot of loss on their roster. Now losing their starting quarterback in Deshaun Watson, who actually was playing a really good game last week. He was 15-17, you know, had over 100 yards. And things started to look up last week because Deshaun Watson, we mentioned it on the show last week, that he needs to utilize his legs more, and he definitely did last week. Unfortunately, has sustained an injury. Looks like he's going to be done for this season. Looking forward to next year to make his return. But, man, Cleveland has been hurting on offensive line. They've had issues there. They got Nick Chubb back. He played a few snaps here and there last week. Looked pretty good, actually. But I don't think Nick Chubb is going to be enough against this very physical Baltimore Ravens team who, even though statistically they're not the best at pass defense, but I don't know who's going to be throwing the football because they don't have Amari Cooper anymore. It seems like Jameis Winston is going to be getting the start, which is kind of like a surprising move to me. Because I thought that DTR, who filled in, the young running back of theirs, who was listed as the backup, played pretty well. Being able to run with the football, distribute the football to David Njoku and company. And Cedric Tillman, I think it was Cedric Tillman, also had a big-time part in that game. So I guess it's Winston's show now. So we all know how that goes. And I think the Ravens are going to be licking their chops playing against Jameis Winston. So, all honestly, I don't think there's too much to say about how good the Ravens are. They're just going to flat out win this game.
Yep. All right, next up, the Tennessee Titans and the Detroit Lions. Detroit, I think, should not snooze on this game just for a little bit, just because you don't want it to be a trap game. You know, they should easily beat this team. But we've seen teams like Detroit kind of do something like this, kind of snooze on them, like, oh, we should be able to roll through these here. But I hope they don't, and I don't think they will. But, you know, I have seen things like this happen before, especially with Detroit. But at home, they're going to be playing with a lot of fire. The team's amped up. The fans are amped up right now. They've had some injuries here. David Montgomery banged up a little bit last week. But Jahmyr Gibbs, plug and play, and he was lights out, too, on top of it. So this team could beat you from every different angle here. Jameson Williams is going to be suspended for a few games because of a PED.
Two games.
So they won't have him, but I think it doesn't matter. For a team like this, Tennessee, we've seen them struggle throughout the season here. Can't get anything done either side of the ball, really, at this point. I like the Detroit Lions in this one.
Yeah, Jameis Williams has been a really good player for the Detroit Lions. Only last week is where he kind of went invisible. They didn't even throw him the football, which was kind of interesting. But when you look at the backfield, when you have, you know, David Montgomery gets hurt, but Jahmyr Gibbs, they have two of the best running backs in the game today as a 1-2 punch, which is pretty scary. Not to mention that they have one of the best offensive lines, one of the best quarterbacks. You get the picture. The Detroit Lions are just going to be flat out difficult to beat every single week. And the Tennessee Titans, who have been struggling, I'm not sure it's going to get any better every single week for Titans. It looks like it's just going to get worse. And especially if they do move on from DeAndre Hopkins, which makes that team even more vulnerable. Detroit is home. So good luck, Tennessee. You're going to need it. I'm going to pick the Detroit Lions.
All right, next up, we've got the Arizona Cardinals and the Miami Dolphins. Joe, again, ever since Tua went down, Dolphins have been struggling. You know, you like the fact that they grabbed Tyler Huntley here, but, you know, hasn't been able to do everything here. You've got Tim Boyle, too, that entered the game and made some plays here, too. But this team's struggling now. On offense, they're worst in the league. One bright point on defense, their first in third downs and holding in third down conversions. But Summing that all up, Arizona, like you said, they're probably the surprise team to an extent of, you know, I am at least, of how they've been playing in games. You know, they haven't won them all, but they've, you know, contested a lot of different games here. And I think this is another game that they can come out here and get the win.
Yeah, this is interesting to see Miami Dolphins say that the Tua Tagovailoa is going to return this week against the Cardinals. They say he's ready to go. I just don't know what we're going to get from Tua right away, right coming back, right, you know, as soon as this game against the Cardinals, which that defense has been balling out. And that's what I feel like is going to be the hardest part of this matchup is, can the Dolphins with Tua coming back overcome that defense? If they can, I think that they'll end up winning the game home and all that. But Arizona, one thing that I've noticed about them this past week against the Chargers is that offensively, they're not as good as I thought they were. Mm-hmm. Kyler Murray still makes his mistakes. Yes, he's got freakishly fast speed that he can break the pocket and take off at will. But the chemistry just isn't there. Marvin Harrison Jr. to me was a little bit disappointing. You know, they didn't get him the ball early on in that game, but then when they did, he was dropping the football on a lot of contested catches. So I don't really – this game right here is kind of confusing to me. But even so, I know I picked Arizona last week. I think I'm going to go with Miami this week with Tua's return. I think he kind of gets the ship right, and the fact that he knows the playbook in its entirety is definitely going to help Mike McDaniels being able to call plays freely like he once did. I'm going to go with Miami in this one.
Yeah, it is a tough one here too, because you look at both teams. Like I was bringing up the fact that Miami best on third downs here, but then also the worst is the Arizona Cardinals. And when Tua and Miami, if they get into a third down situation here, they're going to excel here, most likely here against the defense. That's where they have faltered. So it could be a different difference maker here in the fact that having Tua healthy and hopefully completely healthy, and they're not rushing him back. That's the only thing I'm concerned about is that, you know, yes, they've been dying to get him back here, but make sure that he's completely healthy, you know, to an extent. You can only be so healthy with having as many concussions as he has had.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, know what we're doing here.
That's the thing, is they wouldn't put him out there if he wasn't ready. Like, if he was still a little iffy on the side, that they would err on the side of caution, obviously, because of his history. So, like, there's going to be no restrictions this week in practice. He's going to be ready to go 100%. Like, I'm not worried about that part. I'm just worried about maybe a little bit of rust, you know, showing up. Like we mentioned Russell Wilson in his debut.
Yeah, this is a tough one for me here, but being in Miami and stuff, Tua coming back, I think I'll lean towards the Miami Dolphins, too, as well. Next, we got the New York Jets and the New England Patriots. Patriots let me down, Joe. I mean, I thought they were going to have a chance to do something here. They fought hard. But Jacksonville, we talked about it. You know, there it is. It's like that home stadium when they play there.
Oh, my God.
They turn it up. And I don't know what it is. So, you know, Doug Peterson's job is safe one more week. At least right now.
He was allowed to get on the airplane. That's what it was. They fought for him to get back home.
Yes, he was. So the Jets desperate for a win here. Patriots again, just, you know, they're just learning here. They've got a struggling offensive line, a brand new quarterback here. So I don't really give the Patriots a shot here. The Jets haven't been making mistakes. One thing they need to do: eliminate the penalties. First of all, eliminate penalties. No penalties, please. God, New York Jets, stop killing yourself.
They're gonna get penalties.
I know, but please eliminate it. But I think this—if they're going to get the ship slips around here and change—I think this is the perfect team to do it against here. I like the Jets to win this one against the Patriots.
Yeah, you know, Patriots let me down too. Like, I really thought that they were going to be able to do enough to squeak out a win against the Jags, even though it was in London. But the Jaguars, man, they ran the shit out of the ball, you know, and it wasn't Travis Etienne that was the difference maker, you know, and that's the funny thing is that not even their so-called starter is playing well enough to get him the football to do anything. He's fumbling the ball. So I don't know what the Jaguars going forward means, but what I do know is that the Patriots are still young, still trying to figure things out. Drake May, who has played well as a rookie, yes, he's made mistakes. It's not like he's not going to make those, but I see the progression. I see the talent on the football field. I like what I see from him. It's just not a finalized, player out there. So
right.
The Patriots, I think they're going to – I think, honestly, with the way the Jets have been making mistakes and the penalties that they have, I definitely give the Patriots a shot to win this game because they are so close. This is a divisional game. They know each other well, and we've seen crazier things this year where mm-hmm. I would not be shocked if the Patriots beat the Jets. Yeah. It would be kind of – it would be laughable.
Yeah,
but,
it would be laughable.
I don't anticipate it. I think that the Jets do win this game. They just have too much firepower. They have too good of a defense to lose this game. This is, like you said, this is a must-win game for the Jets. If the Jets struggle against the very young, rookie-driven Patriots, I got big questions. I got bigger questions about that team. So give me the Jets in this one.
Mm-hmm. All right, next, the Atlanta Falcons and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Joe, again, talk about another team that let us down. We talked about it last week again. The Atlanta Falcons, like, hey, you guys are coming off the bye. You had the greatest game with Kirk Cousins, too, prior to the week prior. Don't lay an egg in this one. And they laid an egg. You know, they didn't look very good at all. You know, Kirk Cousins getting pressured. Trying to throw a ball when the dude's laying right on you, basically. He gets the arm
turned
over. Like, stuff you don't do. Dude. It was brutal. Oh, but now you've got Tampa Bay. They've got, they're going to be at home here, but, they're without wide receivers. You know, it's going to be – that's a game changer here for the Bucs and gives Atlanta a shot. I say this can be a very close game. It's a divisional one. But seeing as though Tampa Bay lost its receivers, I think that tips the hat here to the Atlanta Falcons. It's got it at this point, but they got to right the ship here. I like the Falcons.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Tampa Bay, their offense, I feel like, is still going to do well. Like, here's the thing is that none of those receivers that were out there late in that game had first-team reps. And now they're going to have a chance all week to practice with Baker Mayfield and get things nailed down. I still think the Buccaneers are the team to beat in this matchup, especially being home again, Atlanta. Obviously, they know each other very well, but I don't have a lot of confidence in Atlanta right now. Mm-hmm. Like, last week is a week where I thought 100% they weren't going to lose that game against Seattle. Mm-hmm. I thought Atlanta was going to not romp them, but I feel like Atlanta would have easily won that matchup.
Yep.
But it didn't happen. In fact, it was opposite. They got destroyed in their own house. So I still like the Atlanta Falcons. I just don't know if I can buy them just yet because of the inconsistent play that they're displaying. Kirk Cousins, to me, looked like a shell of himself last week. He didn't look like himself. Mm-hmm. And that's got that concerns me. And now you're going up against a division rival who before the Chris Godwin and the Mike Evans injuries, were one of the hottest offenses in the NFL. I understand they lost those two players, their key players. I get all that. But I still think that the Buccaneers are going to be able to make the plays necessary to get a win here. So I'm going to go with Tampa.
Maybe both teams trying to concentrate on the run in this one because both run effectively. So we'll see.
Yep. And that's the other thing, too, is like both – I believe both defenses are not very good against the run. So that could come into play where it's going to be like, we'll run against you, you run against us, and we'll see what happens in the end.
All right, next up, they've been talking about this one for a while now with the matchup, the Chicago Bears and the Washington Commanders. Early on, Jaden Daniels goes out with an injury here, and Marcus Mariota stepped right up and came in and lit it up. Looked like Jaden Daniels out there. It was crazy, right? Making plays, and Washington romps again 40 points. Out of all the teams, they're being the most consistent, I think, right now, defensively and offensively, putting up points on any team that comes to Adam, and they've got a tough matchup here with the Chicago Bears in that defense. But with Chicago, again, I'm not sold on their offense completely, too. Yes, they're high on what wins that they had last time, but like we talked about it last time when we before their bye about Caleb Williams saying we've beat some good teams, stuff like that. They really haven't beat a lot of great teams right now.
No.
You know, so I'm not really excited about them and the trajectory that they're going in. I still think they're like an in-the-middle-of-the-road type of team. So going against Washington, it's going to be tough here. Now, if Jaden Daniels completely healthy, I'm definitely going Washington. But even with Mariota in there, the way they're being coached and playing, though, I think they still got the upper side in this one, Joe. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, you know what I think. I think Chicago's offense sucks. I think Caleb Williams is overhyped. I think that you're going to start to see him decline and not have the success that he's had the last couple of weeks because they're going into a tougher part of their schedule. You know what I mean? So, and that's the thing is they've had a pretty easy schedule in the beginning where they pulled off some wins and you're like, okay, yeah, they got the win, but they really weren't impressive offensively. They had the last couple of weeks, they've been impressive. Caleb Williams has done a good job, but, I think now that you're going to start, facing stiffer competition, I think this is where the kind of the ideology of Caleb Williams and the success of the Bears kind of changes here. I like Washington a lot. I liked them before the season started. The only thing is that they got off to a very slow start because they were trying to almost have training wheels on Jaden Daniels, kept a very limited playbook, didn't want to risk him throwing the ball down the field. But now after they took those away and opened it all up, now you're seeing, oh yeah, he can sling the rock as a rookie. He can make all the throws. We have a lot more confidence in him. Let's just let him play, and you're reaping the benefits from it. So Jaden Daniels left the game last week due to an oblique injury. He came back shortly after, kind of gave a thumbs up to the crowd when he came out, says he's good. So as of today, he's not on the injury report, so I'm expecting that he's going to make a full return this week. And even if he didn't, I have faith in Marcus Mariota, especially in this offense with Cliff Kingsbury calling the play calls. I got a confidence in this team. I think they continue their winning ways and they get a W against Chicago.
All right, I'm going to side with you as well. I'm going to go with the Washington Commanders. Green Bay Packers and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Jacksonville returns to their real home in Jacksonville, where they're going to lay an egg and suck again. And here they go against the Green Bay Packers in a tough matchup last week. We said that one was going to be a nail-biter, too, in a tough game between the Houston Texans and stuff. And, whoa, boy, it was. And I tell you, I really like the whiteout jerseys of the Green Bay Packers, too, man. Like, I don't know. I like how some teams are changing it up.
I love those
jerseys, right?
I really did. Nice. Those are probably my favorite Packer jerseys yet. Like, I really thought they looked amazing.
Yeah, they're very sharp. Green Bay getting their stride now. Yeah. Jordan Love playing really well. I think, again, they Jacksonville, even though they won, they're coming back home. I don't think they have enough firepower here against this team. I like the Green Bay Packers in this one.
You don't think the Jaguars have enough firepower, Jim? Like, they really ramped it up last week, had 36 points. Like, how could you doubt this team? It's been an up and hill. It's been a roller coaster ride with the Jaguars. We still cannot figure out what their identity is, who they are, what they're doing every week. Most of the time they disappoint instead of, you know, making fans happy in Jacksonville. And honestly, like, this team is in disarray. They don't have an identity. The offense is putrid, and then you have games like you did in London. Like, I understand it was the Patriots, but come on, man. Like, all of a sudden you figured out how to put up 30-plus points on the board. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. So against this matchup, this is where they're going to face a very tough team that is red hot right now. Offensively, defensively, they're one of the best defenses in football right now. It's an uphill battle for Jacksonville. I got Green Bay all day long, and how could you pick otherwise?
Yeah, it makes me wonder about preparation. Maybe have to look back at some of their road games and other games that they have and see where they played and what they put up, because it seems like maybe that they were able to stay in London longer, stick around, and prepare for the Patriots to roll into town. They're just a little more prepared coming into this game, and maybe that's what it is on some of it. as far as some other games, if they're traveling to do whatever, maybe Doug Peterson's really loose with all that. And they're like, hey, guys, take this off, and then we'll come back for practice or whatever. I don't know, because it just, yeah, like you said, it's mind-boggling with this team.
Hey, guys, here, just take the whole week off. Show up on Sunday morning.
Yeah, right? That's right. You guys won. Here you go. Yeah, take the week off. Indianapolis Colts and the Houston Texans here. Colts edge out a win, barely here, but Houston – again, losing barely by, you know, what, 2 points here against Green Bay. Mm-hmm. It was a tough game here, matchup here. They return home.
Yeah.
I think Houston turns it on again. Indianapolis tries to keep it close early on, but I see like a 22-12 game, I think, in this one maybe. Houston Texans.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those other ones where, like, we've seen Anthony Richardson struggle from time in and time out. Mm-hmm. Every time he's in there, this offense is disappointing. It drops way off in terms of production. They can't put points on the board. And it's him. It is just him. Mm-hmm. We've seen Joe Flacco when he comes in. They're scoring 20 or more points every week while he's in there, quarterback. All of a sudden, you put Richardson back in. Dud. They barely scored 16 points. And honestly, if it wasn't for Tyler Huntley leaving that game against the Dolphins, Dolphins probably win that game. So it's one disappointment after another for this offense. And honestly, if the Colts want to kind of stay in the race, if they want to even have a shot to make the playoffs, I say you keep Flacco. You put Flacco back in. You keep him in because he gives you the best chance to win every week. Mm-hmm. I don't give a shit about Richardson and his feelings or – he deserves to be the starter because you drafted him high. Mm. At this point, it's about wins. Make it happen. And because they're not going to do that, I like the Texans a lot because they have the key components to win games and beat teams. You saw how close it was in Green Bay. This is not going to be that close. I don't suspect it to be. Right. CJ Stroud was super pissed off last week. I look for him to kind of get back on his horse and charge forward with this offense. Joe Mixon is a dog. He is going to look to run through the Colts, and obviously the defense for the Texans are going to try to make a statement as well.
All right, here we got the New Orleans Saints and the Los Angeles Chargers. Joe, the Chargers, Jesus. Again, it was in a tight game against Arizona, couldn't get it done. New Orleans, they just didn't look good at all either. Even Alvin Kamara looked really frustrated when he was running.
What? They got no players.
Yeah,
they got no players, man.
Yeah, yeah.
They're so trying tough, to make something happen with nothing.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, and I want to bag on Rattler and stuff like that too, but it's tough when you don't have players out there either. I get it. But still, you know, some of the throws stuff didn't look very good. It's tough, and you're a backup in a young quarterback leading your team right now. It's going to be so. Saints are going to see their struggles right now. Your best player, luckily for you, just signed that extension. You just got to try and feed Alvin Kamara. That's going to be your lifeline right now. He's got to get it in the backfield running, but he's also got to get it on some swing routes, something like that. Get him involved in the passing game, short to intermediate routes, something to get the game flowing a little bit, and that makes it easier for Rattler too, and gets him moving. Maybe even gets the defense to bite up a little bit, and then maybe develop some other types of plays here for the Saints. But defensively, they played terribly though too, and it seems like not even trying out there. I was watching the game.
They don't have nobody.
I know, but still, even some guys, there's no effort.
Just don't have anybody. If you don't have a complete unit, bro, you're just not going to be able to do much.
Yeah.
Like, the linebackers can only do what they can do. Pete Werner, who missed last week, he's another starting linebacker that they missed out on last week. That defensive line can only do so much because the other teams are getting rid of the football before they can even get there. And it's handcuffing Dennis Allen's hands from sending blitzes because now you don't have a secondary to play man-to-man.
Right.
You're missing guys at the linebacking position. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, well, what are you supposed to do? Well, you're just going to stay in cover two. We're just going to stay in cover three. We don't have a choice at this point. So the Saints, unfortunately, they're like sitting ducks right now.
Yeah.
And then both sides of the ball, obviously, they're missing such big key components to the game that they just
we looked
can't
at the,
execute the
they
game
have a
plan.
Longer I think they have a longer injury risk list than starting players for the game or something like that, right? It's crazy.
Yeah,
the list
insane.
Is astronomical.
That's the problem too. Is like you look at Alvin Kamara, it's just him.
Mm-hmm.
Like think about it. If you're a defense mm-hmm. looking at that offense, you're like, oh, not worried about the rookie
What's
quarterback.
The game plan?
I'm not
right?
worried. I'm not worried about the backup receiver. I'm going to focus on Chris Olave this week. We're going to double team him. We're going to put a lot of pressure up front. We're going to stuff Alvin Kamara, and that's the game plan. Like Taysom Hill could be a possible player that comes back from the injury, and maybe he kind of gets involved, and they're going to be able to utilize creative type of plays with Taysom Hill. We've seen him play multiple positions. Maybe they kind of get back on track that way a little bit, but I don't think it's going to be enough.
Yeah, I agree, too. I think the Chargers bounced back from that loss they had last week, so I like the Chargers here.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those games where it's like the other team is so injury-riddled that it's hard to pick them. Like, I don't really give the Saints the time of day. No matter who they're playing, I think that they're at a disadvantage. So the Chargers, give me the Chargers with this team with Kamani Vidal, who came on last week, the young rookie. I like to see more of him with J.K. Dobbins this week.
Mm-hmm.
The Chargers team as a whole is better, is healthier, and should win this game.
Yep, absolutely. Next, the Buffalo Bills and the Seattle Seahawks. Buffalo started out slow in that game to where I had to look at the TV again and be like, wait a minute. Does that say like 9-0 right now or something? What's going on?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And then Buffalo came back. Here we go. Everything was right in the world again. I was like, oh, okay. But Seattle, though, again, surprised me, you know, but mainly even it was Atlanta. Atlanta got it, you know. I mean, Witherspoon made some plays too on top of it, but Atlanta played very poorly, you know. And that defense, you know, of Seattle really forced the issues on some of these too. Geno Smith making some big plays though on top of it as well. But it's a tough game here. Seattle going to try and play tough here at home, but I think Buffalo, now that they've got that number one receiver here in Amari Cooper, I think they're going to flourish now. I think this is it. This is time to hit their stride and go. I think they come out of here in Seattle with a victory.
Yeah, you saw Amari Cooper just got there, just like Devontae Adams just got to the Jets. And it was kind of funny because there's no way they knew the whole playbook. But you saw moments where a receiver, a running back, would go up to them and say, hey, This is the route you're going to run. This is what you need to do. Okay. Touchdown. The Buffalo Bills, Josh Allen, to Amari Cooper. Pretty much on like the first drive. Like it was like, oh, okay. All right. Yep. And then if you noticed in that game, it opened up everything for everybody else. Khalil Shakir got involved. Keon Coleman, the rookie who's been struggling. And we've told everybody that this is going to open everything up for everybody on this offense. And sure enough, it did. James Cook made a return to the lineup. He looked amazing, along with Ray Davis. So this Buffalo team, now with the addition of Amari Cooper, another week of learning the playbook, another week of progressing in this offense, this team is going to get even more dangerous every week, especially with how comfortable Amari Cooper will get as they go. The Bills, to me, are going to be one of these teams now that they have a top flight wide receiver. They're going to be one of these teams to watch out for going into the playoffs, and it starts here. The Bills against Seattle. This is a tough matchup for them because they have to travel to Seattle, playing that very hectic crowd. The 12th man's going to be roaring and rocking, but I think the Bills are going to be able to go there and get the W and steal it away from the Seattle Seahawks, much like Seattle stole Atlanta's win last week.
All right, next we've got a good matchup here. The Philadelphia Eagles and the Cincinnati Bengals. Eagles poured it onto the Giants. I was hoping it was going to be closer, but I think what happened, and I kind of saw that too. I thought Saquon was going to have a big day. He had an explosive day. It was like ridiculous, though, how big it was.
Yeah.
It was almost like they're like, welcome back, buddy. Here you go. Run.
I'm just happy I wasn't facing Saquon Barkley in fantasy this past week.
Right?
Because
yeah.
that dude must have scored over 50 points. There's no yeah. way. He right? he went berserk.
Yeah, absolutely. And it helped that defense, that team all together. And that's the thing I think mm-hmm. we've noticed now with this team in adding Saquon. Yeah. That's like their guy, despite of having, you know, the talent that they do and wide receiver and stuff like that. I think they're more effective and, you know, they have to focus around Saquon Barkley in running the ball, and then I'll open up the passing game altogether, despite all the talent they do have weapons here, you know, or whatever. But I think Jalen Hurts, it takes some of that pressure off of him and dropping back and throwing. If you get things moving with Saquon, and he's kind of the focus of your offense.
Yeah, I mean, it's been amazing for the Eagles. Saquon Barkley's been going crazy every single week, getting his touches, getting his catches, getting touchdowns, and it's been working out tremendously. However, we've also talked about how the Eagles' offense continues to struggle, and I figured it out, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Last week, what I noticed in Jalen Hurts, the difference is he's not taking what the defense gives him. He's trying to launch the ball down the field to A.J. Brown a lot of times. Like, mm-hmm. he's overdoing it. He's mm-hmm. he's overcomplicating what needs to be done. I saw one particular route where he forced the ball down the field to A.J. Brown when he had Devonta Smith cutting underneath like a 5 or 10 yard pass. Instead of taking that easy pass and letting Devonta run after the catch, he tried to force it up top to A.J. Brown. That's what I'm noticing, is that Jalen Hurts actually has regressed mm-hmm. in his development as a quarterback. He was awesome. He came in like a wrecking ball, if you will, in the yep. NFL, was lighting yep. it, lighting up the scoreboards and distributing the football to everybody all over the field. Now I'm noticing him trying to force the ball down the field too much instead of just taking the easy play and moving the football down the field that way. So that's something that kind of stuck out to me. Watch for that in this game against the Bengals. I really do feel like this game is going to be a very good game. I feel like it's going to be pretty close, and I wouldn't be surprised if either team wins it. But what I have noticed, too, is on the Bengals side in their offense, there's none of that. Joe Burrow has been playing really good football. He's been distributing it to T. Higgins, you know, Jamar Chase, obviously. But then he's also kind of sprinkling in, you know, Andre Iasevis and some of the tight ends that they have. And now you look at Chase Brown becoming more of a prominent role in this offense, not mm-hmm. Zach Moss, who is a difference mm-hmm. maker. So I feel like both defenses are not stout. The Eagles might have more names on the roster, but neither defense is playing, you know, great football. So I feel like this is going to end up being a shootout, Jim. And it might come down to whoever has the ball last that's going to dictate who wins. I'm going to lean on the Eagles, and I'm going to go with Jalen Hurts with A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith. I feel like that the chemistry that he has with them, I still think, and obviously you have Saquon Barkley on that side of the ball. That to me is the reason why I'm going with it, because I feel like they just have a better run game. I think that's going to yep. play a big part in this game. I'm going to go with the Eagles.
Yeah, that's the thing, too. It's going to be tough here because we saw how, you know, Cincinnati played the Giants here. Giants were able to get multiple sacks here and able to run effectively on the Cincinnati Bengals here. So when you look at the Philadelphia Eagles, I think they'll be able to do the same thing, but better, you know what I mean? And so that's the same kind of thing we're kind of looking at here with the Cincinnati Bengals. I think the Joe Burrow, though, better quarterback. Weapons are, I think, pretty good, too, on either side. So the offense, it could go either way. Like you said, you look at this,
right.
probably a shootout, yeah. but who's probably more mm-hmm. effective in the running game? It's tough, but I think I might go with the Cincinnati Bengals on this one just to be different, because I don't think I want to root for the Eagles on this one. So there we go.
No, of course not. You're a Giants fan. You're not allowed to pick the Eagles.
That's right.
You're not allowed.
So let's go Cincinnati. Here we go. Carolina Panthers and the Denver Broncos. Broncos beat the hell out of the Saints. But like you said, the Saints injured before that game, and then they got even more injured. They're struggling, things like that. Carolina, mm-hmm. Hopefully Andy Dalton is okay, or hopefully he's fine and his right. his family and everything yeah. stuff able to play in this game, and all that. But either way, I think this could be a tough game for Carolina going against this tough defense in the Broncos. Mm-hmm. I still think that Bo Nix is going to struggle at times, miss throws that are open, sort of like you even said about Jalen Hurts. I find at times with Bo Nix, what I don't like about him is like you'll see stuff that's open and just not he doesn't see the read or something like that. I don't know. He doesn't take what they give him sometimes, and he'll throw it to like a more challenging throw for some reason when there's a guy right underneath, like we're easily able to go to or something. I don't know. I think you're going to have issues with that throughout the game here, but I think Denver is going to definitely do enough to pull a victory out here in this one.
Yeah, I mean, the way I see Bo Nix, though, I see it the opposite way. I just feel like he misses a lot of people downfield, but he does check it down when it's open there. So, like, you looked at last week how you're starting to see Troy Franklin, another rookie, and honestly, it's like almost like a coincidence, but they both got drafted to the same team. Both guys that played for Oregon. He's getting more involved in this offense. He's doing a lot of check downs, intermediate throws to him, along with spreading it to the Courtland Sutton and whatnot. But the Javonta Williams, to be honest with you, Javonta Williams has been coming on strong for this Broncos team in the run game. Last week had a great game. This week, they're hoping that continues because as long as they can keep this run game going and the fact that they're getting healthier in that backfield, Aldrick Estime, another rookie who's also sharing touches there, the team offensively is getting better every week. You're noticing that. The offense is running a little bit smoother. They're executing more plays. And that defense that has been one of the best defenses in football, they are just creating immense pressure against whoever they face. Carolina, I don't anticipate Andy Dalton being available for this game, so it looks like they're going to have to turn their sights to maybe Bryce Young, or someone else. I don't know. But that to me is not – it's going to – Bryce Young's going to have nightmares after this game of the Denver Broncos. Give me the Broncos in this one. I think the Broncos do more – obviously, with the Panthers being without Andy Dalton.
Mm-hmm. All right, next we got the Kansas City Chiefs and your Las Vegas Raiders, Joe.
Oh my God.
Yep. It was Aiden O'Connell. They're struggling here. It's going to be a tough one here. Kansas City, maybe this will be their best game this season for Kansas City just because they've been playing so poorly. I can't imagine Patrick Mahomes playing any worse here against your team that's just struggling right now. Again, and now you don't have a quarterback.
Well, you don't need a quarterback to play defense, that's for sure. That's where Patrick Mahomes will play. He probably won't play much better against their defense. But what I'll say is that this game is going to be a messy one for the Raiders. Like, they don't have an answer at quarterback now. We didn't think they had one before with Gardner. Now the fact that Aiden O'Connell ends up getting injured, now they definitely don't have a chance to even beat the Chiefs. So he's going to be out for at least a month, maybe probably 6 weeks. You got Gardner Minshew, and here's the kicker. Gardner Minshew stepped in last week, and this week it sounds like, I don't know if this is true, but it sounds like they just signed Desmond Ridder today, and rumors are that they have more confidence in newly signed Desmond Ridder than they do Gardner Minshew. So is that, you know, buyer's remorse, I think? You know, the fact that they gave Gardner Minshew the contract that they did, and now that's not working out. So
yep.
I will think this is absolutely hilarious if Ridder actually starts.
Yeah, that would be. That would be.
Second of all, it's going to be an absolute shit show for the Raiders. This is where this team has made bad decision after bad decision, and now it's catching up to them. And because of that, the rest of the season is not going to be looking good for them. So give me the Chiefs in this one. I think the Chiefs' defense, anyway, is playing much better than it did early on in the season.
Chiefs' offense,
they don't need receivers because they're probably playing an injury-riddled defense of the Raiders, so they'll be fine.
Yep, I agree. All right, next, the Dallas Cowboys and the San Francisco 49ers for Sunday Night Football. 49ers, man, they're struggling again. Don't look good. Dallas doesn't look even good right now. So it's kind of funny how these two teams going in the game as like lame ducks and not exactly like, you know, the juggernauts that probably the NFL and NBC really wanted, you know, into this game on primetime, right? But the one thing you do have, two teams that have their backs against the wall and need to come out of this one with a win. I think both teams do. The Giants to kind of compete in this, especially if the Eagles do pull out a victory this coming week. So it's them and the Washington Commanders. And then the 49ers here, if Seattle can pull out a victory somehow too, again, they need to be able to get back into this division here. And if they want to make some kind of Super Bowl run or even a playoff run at this point right now. So both teams have something to play for. So I think overall it's going to be a pretty good matchup too. Again, I would say, man, even though with injuries here, I want to lean towards the 49ers, but I don't know anymore. You know, Brock Purdy's he's a turnover machine now. It's very scary. They don't have as many weapons that they did. They still have George Kittle and James, like I said, which is nice. But again, the Cowboys, they still have CeeDee Lamb and stuff on the opposite side too, Turpin, Tolbert, things like that. But on the defensive side for the Cowboys, they don't have their pass rusher there, and it seems like not having that guy really made a real big difference on that defense.
So it sounds like Micah Parsons and Daron Bland are both game time decisions for this game. So they may or may not play leading up to this matchup. At least that's what it sounds like right now. If they do play, obviously that's going to give them the Cowboys a little bit of a boost, especially on defense. But if they don't play, we'll just say that it's not going to be pretty. I think that despite Brock Purdy's struggles last week, I think it was just a bad week for him, and he's going to come back this week and be a lot more efficient like the Brock Purdy that we normally see every week. So I like the Niners despite all the injuries that they have. I just feel like they are a more physical team. They're a team that is ran a little bit better, and I don't have questions with them in the run game. Like, Jordan Mason has been an excellent fill-in while Christian McCaffrey's been – nursing his injury, definitely a starting caliber back out of nowhere, and I look for them to run the football, chew the clock up, score at the end, and who knows, because by the time game time rolls around, we might have Debo back too, so you might have a healthier offense than you originally thought, and that to me, I'll roll the dice on that, the fact that I like the 49ers and what they're able to accomplish against the Cowboys in a team that does not run the football because they can't. Right. They don't have the right running backs there. So they're still an offense that is one-dimensional, that doesn't necessarily spell success. And that defense is still injured. Don't really know what the outcome is going to be for those two key players, but obviously we'll know more as game time gets closer. Give me the Niners in this one.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a close matchup here. Like you said, running game, definitely a factor. I think last time when they played even two, George Kittle had a big day. I can expect them to try and do the same kind of game plan. If Debo is in too, that definitely elevates the 49ers here. So I think it's a close one. It's a good game. But I'm going to side with the 49ers too as well to turn the ship around a little bit. All right, and then finally here we got Monday Night Football. We don't really to talk about this one. the New York Giants and the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Giants is struggling again. It's just week to week, man. It's tough to watch, you know what I mean? But without, you know, your starting left tackle too, Andrew Thomas too, I mean, what a big difference there. Daniel Jones getting sacked like 8 times last week. But still, people want to still blame him. It's all his fault still again, but – dude's
of course,
got only
of
like less than 2 seconds to throw the ball at all to make any kind of read. What's
so
up?
Real quick, there's a couple of things that just popped up on the newswire. It says that the Kansas City Chiefs are currently the betting favorite for the Rams wide receiver Cooper Kupp.
Oh, Cooper Kupp.
That just popped up. And then 49ers Debo Samuel has been released from the hospital, so looks like he's going towards that healthy direction. So things are looking up for the 49ers. Yeah. Hey, drink some fluids, eat a couple of cookies, call me in the morning. And then you also have the fact that Hassan Reddick, I know that we kind of skipped over this and I just want to touch on it. Hassan Reddick is going to be returning to the Jets.
Oh, yes.
And that could also play a big part on this defense, something that they've been lacking on one side, a pass rusher. Hassan Reddick looks like he's going to be returning. And get this, the Jets are going to waive the $12 million fines that he has racked up to this point because he's planning on working out a long-term deal with the Jets. That's some big news right there. So
crazy how things turn around. Jets.
And, hey, you know what? It's one of these things like, hey, you know what? I know what I said like a month ago, but we're still boys, right? Like, can we work this out? Like, you know, I need my money. That's all it was. So Hassan Reddick looks like he's going to be a Jet for the near future, too.
Yep. So, all right, the Giants, Pittsburgh. Again, I think Pittsburgh's play is going to be better under Russell Wilson. They can run the ball effectively. Again, you saw what Saquon did against this team. I think the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to do the same type of thing. Najee Harris, a big day. Jaylen Warren, a big day. And now that you've got Russell Wilson, that puts Pickens into play now on top of things, too. And don't forget, like you said, Freiermuth, too, as well. I mean, every single angle here. Giants, you know, hope that they're going to be having. I think Malik Nabers is going to be able to be back in this one. So that would give them a glimmer of hope for them on offense, definitely. But it's going to be a struggle all the way. I think the defense will still try and pressure Russell Wilson a bit here in the passing game. But it's just not enough. They're not a good team to compete here. I like the Pittsburgh Steelers in this one.
I think the Giants will compete in this one. I really do like their defensive front matchup against the offensive line, the young offensive line of the Steelers. I think that they're going to be able to take advantage of that. And I think that's going to dictate the game, is the game in the trenches. That's where it's going to be decided. Not the quarterbacks, not the weapons. I feel like the trenches is going to dictate this game, and both teams are both very physical. So this could be one hell of a black and blue type of game to tune into. I like the Steelers in this one still because the offense for the Giants doesn't give me confidence with Daniel Jones. I'm sorry, but he just continues to make the same mistakes that he has since he got there, and that's got to be majorly concerning to the coaching staff, the GM, everybody around there. We already know that they were ready to move on from him in the draft. They tried to move up and get Drake May to at least give a quarterback competition this year. Couldn't make it happen, and now they're still working with Daniel Jones. Look for them to look for quarterback this year in the draft once again. But I don't like the continuous mistakes that he makes. And yes, he does make some plays, but then he still continues to make those mistakes, which is disheartening for a lot of Giants fans out there. But that's right there. That's what doesn't give me confidence in this team. Going up against the Pittsburgh Steelers, I feel like that defense has been playing so well. They're getting healthier, and now you have Russell Wilson at the helm. They're going to be a tough team to beat now down the stretch. So give me Pittsburgh.
All right, there you go. All right, and then that's the picks here for Week 8. We're already halfway done with the season here, just about here, Joe. It's crazy, right? It's just
we're not there yet. Fast. We got a few
days.
Yep.
So, it was great talking about this. Trades, we're following it here. Like you said, Chiefs up their first contender here for the Cooper Cup sweepstakes, possibly, and potentially some other ones right before the deadline. Joe, why don't you tell everybody one more time where they can find more episodes of the Blindside Blitz and other shows by Grumblings Media?
Yeah, very easy. If you want to check out our website, please do so, grumblingsmedia.com. When you head over there, you're going to find some articles. You're going to find some other podcasts there. Of course, you're going to see us there. But they got your sports, they got your political, they got your entertainment type of stuff over there. And if you want to continue to help us grow this great channel of ours, we are at 3,700 subscribers right now and climbing. I believe 3 weeks ago, we were at like 3,200. So that puts it into perspective on how much we're growing here at Grumblings Media. Make sure you become part of that. Become part of the family. Hit that subscribe button. Hit those thumbs up. Share the hell out of the video. Share it to your friends and family. Let them know that this is the place to go to for NFL talk every single week. And we're the most interactive, by the way. Just want to let you guys in on that secret. And, of course, you can also bring us on the go and take us along anywhere you get your podcasts.
All right, that's it for us this week. Hope you guys enjoyed the show, and we'll see you guys next time.